All right, we're here. We're starting here on the top of Tedem and Aleph, 11 lines down by the two dots. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the Mishnah, the tail end of the Mishnah, which is Maaseh Ubau Banav Mibeit HaMishteh. Story that's mentioned in the Mishnah about the children of Rabbi Gamliel who came back from the wedding, and they asked him what the din was. The Gemara says, Vad Hashta Lo Shmieluhu Had Rabbi Gamliel. What happened until now? His children never knew what the halacha was until now? They didn't hear this memory of their father, Rabbi Gamliel? Why all of a sudden are they finding out this information from Rabbi Gamliel that they didn't know before? So, Hachi Gamri Le, this is what they said. Rabbanan Pligi Levech. We know that the Rabbanan argue on you, that they argue on your position. The Rabbanan say at Chatzot, and you say at Alot HaShachar. V'yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. And we know the principle of halachic decisions is governed by the fact that when you have a Rabbim negative Yachid, we paskin like the Rabbim. Oh, Dilma, or maybe Rabbanan Kavateich Svirluhu. Underlying the position of the Rabbanon is your position, Rabbi Gamliel. V'haide kamrei ad chatzot. So why do they say until chatzot? K'dei l'achika d'adam min aveira. So it's simply a question that they're asking their father about the position of the Chachamim. We've seen this recur a couple of times, which is that the definition of Shechiva. We said that the definition of Shechiva can be one of two things. Either Zman shehochim lishon or hochim lishkov, time that they go to sleep. Or Shechiva can be called Zman sheshochvim, all the time that they are asleep. So the question is, which of those two is correct over here for the position of the Rabbanan? Do they say until Chatzot? And they really fundamentally agree with Rabbi Eliezer that it's all the time, it's a time when people go to sleep. They just think that that period of time is longer. Not until Ashmur Rishonah, but until Chatzot is when people go to sleep. Or, do they fundamentally agree with the Rabbanan that Kol Zman Shad Anashim Shochvim, any time that people are sleeping, that is sufficient to be called Ubishach Bicho? And so why did they say Chatzot? Kidei l'archik et ha'adam min ha'aveira. Zamalu Rabbanon kavati svir luhu. And that's what Rabbi Gamliel answers them. Yes, the Rabbanon hold like me. Fundamentally, we agree that Shechiva means kol zman she'anashim shochvim. Anytime that people are sleeping. V'chayvim atem. And therefore, you are obligated to say Kriyat Shema now. V'hayde kamrei ad Chatzot. So why did the Rabbanon say until Chatzot? Kidei l'archik et ha'adam min ha'aveira. In order to prevent the individual from being pusheya and falling asleep and not saying the Kriyat Shema like we saw earlier in the Gemara. Velo zubuvad amru. And this is not the only instance where we have this occasion of a harchok at chatzot, where it says Rabbi Gamliel mikamar at chatzot. Rabbi Gamliel himself does not believe that the cutoff time is chatzot. Tani velo zubuvad. And then he comes to say, but this is not the only occurrence. There are other occurrences. Why is he bringing other occurrences? That's not his position. So, Hachi Kamerluhu, this is what Rabbi Gamliel is saying to them. Hachi Kamerluhu, Rabbi Gamliel v'nei, this is what Rabbi Gamliel is saying to his children. Afilu the Rabbonon de Kamri ad Chatzot. Even according to Rabbanon, who say that the appropriate or primary time for Kriyat Shema is until midnight, mitzvotaj yele amud ha-shachar. The mitzvah extends all the way until dawn. V'hayde Kamri ad Chatzot, kedei l'achik min adam min avera. Again, the reason they said until Chatzot is to be Machika Dadam Min Aveira, and then Velo Zu Bilvad. And this is not the only instance where we have such an occurrence where the mitzvah really goes until Amud HaShachar, and yet we cut off the time period in which you're allowed to do it, Kedei L'Achika Dadam Min Aveira. So Gamliel is speaking within the position of the Chachamim. Gamliel himself believes that until Amud HaShachar is the proper time for Kriyat Shema. We discussed on Daf Bet the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah who discussed the possibility of whether Rabbi Gamliel really disagrees with the Chachamim, that maybe even Rabbi Gamliel agrees with the Chachamim until Chatzot, and their machloket is about after Chatzot, or the other possibility in Rabbi Gamliel is that he believes fundamentally you can say it all the way until Amud HaShachar without any reservations, and the Chachamim just say Bidyevet until Amud HaShachar, but the Chatchilo should stop at Chatzot. Hekter chalavim veivarim. Gemara says, V'ilu achilat psachim lo ktani. How come the Mishnah doesn't mention as one of the items that cuts off at Chatzot the eating of the Korban HaPesach on the night of Pesach? V'irimini. Kriyat Shema arvit v'halel b'leli psachim v'achilat Pesach mitzvatan ad shelem ud ha-shachar. So when it comes to Kriyat Shema of arvit, the halel on the night of Pesach and the eating of the Pesach, the mitzvah is until dawn. So Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Kasho, Ha Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Ha Rav Akiva. That's actually a machloket as to when the proper time to eat the Korban HaPesach is. So in Okanami, you could say that it's at Amuda Shachar, and we stop at Chatzot, which would make it patterned similar to what other items that we have mentioned in our Mishnah. Mitzvah Amuda Shachar, yet cut off at Chatzot, but depends whose opinion you are following. There's a Machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. Vachlu et Abasar b'layla hazeh, that you should eat the Korban HaPesach on this night. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Nerma kan b'layla hazeh. It says further on, that I will move through Mitzrayim. I will pass through Mitzrayim on that night. And we know when it comes to Hashem passing through Mitzrayim on that night, that was Makat Bechorot, which took place at midnight. And just like the Laila Hazed by Makat Bechorot refers to midnight, so too, Laila Hazvachlu et Abasar by Laila Hazed, that Laila Hazed is also until Chatzot. That means, Malahalan ad Chatzot, Avkan ad Chatzot, just like by Makat Bechorot was at midnight, so too with the Korban Pesach, it's till Chatzot, and that's Mi'ikar Adin. Elazar ben Azariah says the Korban Pesach Min HaTorah ends at Chatzot. Amar Rabbi Akiva, V'alo Kvar Nemar B'Chipazon, that when you eat the Korban HaPesach, you eat it B'Chipazon while you're rushing, Ad Shat Chipazon, until the time that there is the rush to exit, to leave. They don't leave until the Boker, until the morning, because you're not allowed to leave your house during the night. So they only left in the morning, which sounds like the Korban HaPesach is eaten B'Chipazon in that rush to get to the point where they can exit. And that would mean until Amud HaShachar. Imkein Matam Alomar V'Layla Zeh. Why do you have to say then it's at night? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we understand the need for V'Layla Hazeh is to teach you the Gezeirah Shovah between that and Makat Bechorot. But for Rabbi Akiva, what do you need V'Layla Hazeh? Because Yochel Nechal K'Kodoshim Bayom. Because the Korban HaPesach is a quasi-Shlamim Todah, and when it comes to Shlamim or Todah, the time period in which they can be eaten, a Shlamim is 2 days and one night, and a Todah, which is only for 1 day and one night, still you can eat it. The day you shecht it, you can eat it, and the night afterwards. So you would think the same thing by the Korban HaPesach, you'd be able to eat it that day when you shecht it, as well as at night. Tamalomar b'layla. B'layla hu d'achal v'lo b'yom. That when the Korban HaPesach is eaten, it's only at night. It doesn't have that gedder of a Korban Todah or a Korban Shlamim to be eaten in the day that it's shechted, only in the night that's after the Shechita may you eat it. So that's the explanation of Rabbi Akiva of that term of Belayla. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we need Belayla Hazeh. Hazeh, it's necessary because we need a terminology that is similar to Belayla Hazeh, that's by Makat Bechorot. Rabbi Akiva, hi Hazeh, my Ovidle. According to Rabbi Akiva, what do you need to know this night? Of course you're eating it on this night. You shechted it that day, you're going to eat it that night. Balayla hazeh is two words. So we first discussed the word balayla. So why do you need to tell me this night? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's come to teach you that only at night do you eat the Korban Pesach, not during the day. But then in addition to that, it says balayla hazeh. Why do you have to tell me on this night? Of course it's on this night that you're going to eat the Korban Pesach. What other night would you eat the Korban Pesach? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he needs balayla hazeh to make up the gezeirah shovah between this and Makat Bechorot. In both places it says balayla hazeh. For Rabbi Akiva, what's the necessity of hazeh? This night and no other night? What would have been the havamina? And the Gemara says, ain't ochanami. Yes, that's what it means. Balayla hazeh means lemute layla acherhu da'ata. It comes to say this night and no other night. Why would you think there's another night to eat the Korban HaPesach? Because Sakadat Kamina, I would have thought, ho, Pesach kochim kalim, ushlamim kochim kalim. Just like Pesach is in the category of kochim kalim, a lighter form of kodoshim, and shlamim is also in that form of kochim kalim. Truthfully, Pesach, Maser and Bechor are the lightest form of Kodoshim that go on the Mizbeach. Shlamim is a little higher even in terms of its Kedusha. And we know by the Shlamim that it has a din of been eating for Mashlamim Nechalim L'Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. When it comes to Shlamim, the day that you shecht the Shlamim, you're allowed to eat it that day, the subsequent night, and the following day. 2 days and one night. That's the time period in which a Shlamim can be consumed. So at Pesach, so too by the Pesach, I would think the same thing. Nechal L'Shtei Lelot. Of course, by Korban Pesach, you can't eat it during the day. Can't eat it when the day you shechted it because you already learned Belayla has to be eaten at night. So what I'll say is, since the time period of eating for the Korban Pesach starts at night, therefore it will be granted 2 nights the same way that Shlamim is granted 2 days. Not to suggest that it'd be 2 nights with the day in between and you could eat the Korban Pesach that night, the next day, or the following night. That everybody agrees would not be true because it says Belayla, it has to be eaten at night. But the suggestion of the Gemara is that night you'll be able to eat it. The next day you'll be in suspension, but it won't become notar. And the following night you'll be able once again to eat it, because that'll be nighttime. and the two nights replace the 2 days that are normally by Kodshim Kalim, by Shlamim. Ve'enechal bet le'yot ve'yom echad. Kamash v'lan b'layla hazeh. This is different than a normal Shlamim and normal Kodshim Kalim. It's eaten on this night, and that's it. There's no other extension of time in order to consume the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Milo Totiru ad Boker Nafko. How does he know that Belayla Hazeh means this night and not two nights like the Shlamim? Because the Pasuk says, Lo Totiru men ad Boker. Do not leave it over until the morning. So if you can't leave it over until the morning, it's clear that that's the end of the time period in which you can consume the Korban HaPesach. Rabbi Kiva, Imi Hotam, if that's your source, Hava Amina, my Boker, Boker Sheni, which is the drush of Chazal. When it says, Lo Totiru Menu Ad Boker, means don't leave it over until the morning, doesn't mean the first morning, the morning of the 15th, but rather the morning of the 16th. Rabbi Lazar Marlecha, called Boker, Boker Rishonu. Why would you ever say that? Anytime the Torah says Boker, it means the next morning that you bump into. The next morning you bump into is the 15th. So I don't accept that explanation of Lo Totiru Menu Boker, and therefore that is, for me, the source for why Korban Pesach is only eaten that night, and not any extended period like that of a Shlamim or Kodshim Kalim. So basically what we have here is a Machloket, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says that Mina Torah, Korban Pesach must be completed by midnight, by Chatzot, on the night of Pesach. He learns that out from the Gzera Shavu of Belayla Hazeh, Belayla Hazeh, between that and Makat Bichorot. In addition to that, he has Lo Totiru Menu Ad Boker to teach you that only on this night and no other night. There's no extension of time because it's a Kodshim Kalim or it looks like a Shlamim. That's it, that night and period. Rabbi Kiva believed that Min HaTorah, a Korban Pesach, can be eaten until Alot HaShachar, until dawn. And that's because of the need or the necessity to eat Korban HaPesach b'chipazon, which means that you can eat it until chipazon, the time that you need to leave, the time to exit, and that's in the morning. Belayla Hazeh comes to teach us, number one, when you shecht it during the day, you may not eat it until it's nightfall. And number two is Hazeh, to teach us this night only and no other night. It's not like any other Kodshim Kalim or Shlamim that it extends over a larger period of time. It's tonight and no more than that. Lo Totiru Menu Ad Boker, Rabbi Kiva says, is not definitive in saying that it's the next morning or the following morning. So it wouldn't teach us the din that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah learns from it. V'hani Tanai, Kehani Tanai. This Machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Kiva is similar to another Machloket Tanaim that we have, the Tanya Suk, that says in Devarim, Shamti Zbach et HaPesach Be'erev Kevoa Shemesh Mo'otzei Tcham Eretz Mitzrayim. There you will bring the Korban HaPesach Be'erev, in the evening, but really here Erev means afternoon, Kevoa Shemesh, when the sun sets, Mo'otzei Tcham Mitzrayim, the time that you left Mitzrayim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Be'erev HaTazovech, in the afternoon, that's when you do Shechitat HaPesach, that's Ben Arbayim, that you do Shechitat HaPesach. When the sun sets, that's when you can eat the Korban HaPesach. At nighttime, that's when you can eat the Korban HaPesach. In the time that you left Mitzrayim, that's the time that you burn the Korban HaPesach, which would be at dawn. Once you hit dawn, that's when you would burn the Korban HaPesach. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says, Be'erev ata zoveach. In the afternoon, you do the zvicha, the shechita. Kevo Hashemesh ata ochel. And when it comes to the evening, when the sun sets at nighttime, you eat the Korban HaPesach. Ba'ad matay ata ochel. Until how long, or what is the duration of the achila? Ta'ad matay ata ochel ve'olech ad moed tzeitcha mitzrayim. Until the time period that you left Mitzrayim. So really, the way that we look at the Braita right now, there really is no difference between the opinions. They both agree that Shechitat HaPesach is in the afternoon. They both agree that Zman Achila begins at nighttime. And then with Moed Tzidcham and Mitzrayim, they disagree what we do with that. One of them says Moed Tzidcham Mitzrayim is the time period when you're so Soreif, when you burn it. The other opinion says you can eat it until Moed Tzidcham and Mitzrayim. Well, you can eat it until you can burn it. So there really is no difference between them. So Rashi points out, because of that, you have to explain that there is some difference between them. And that is that according to the Tanna Kamma, Ad Chatzot HaLaila, you can only eat it until midnight. But too low. And Rashi says, why? Too low, my binayu. Because if you don't say that, what's the difference between them? So the fact that Rabbi Yeshua says that you can eat it until Moed Tzeitcha b'Mitzrayim makes it clear that he thinks you can eat it the entire night. Implying that the Tanna Kamma does not believe that, and the Tanna Kamma believes that you cut it off at Chatzot. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer will be the same as Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yeshua will be the same opinion as Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua say you can eat it until Amud HaShachar, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah say you can only eat it until Chatzot. To Amar Rabbi Ava, so now the Gemara is going to present an alternative way to understand the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Hakol Modim, everybody agrees, Shinigalu Mimitzrayim Lo Nigulu Ela Be'erev. when they were redeemed from Mitzrayim, that happened in the evening. Shenamar hotziacha Hashem Elokim miMitzrayim laylo. That Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim at night. Ukushiyatzu lo yatzu elo biyom. When they actually exited, when they physically left Mitzrayim, that was during the day. Shenamar yomachrat haPesach yatzu bnei Yisrael biyad ramah. Then Parshat Masay, when it's describing all the journeys of Bnei Yisrael, it says that they left Mitzrayim on the next morning. So we know that the Geula took place at night. That's when Hashem brings the final destruction on Mitzrayim. And that's the time period that they were free to leave. But they actually didn't leave until the next morning. So Amah Nechlukus. And then what is the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Ashat Chipazon. What is classified as Shat Chipazon? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Vermaydi Chipazon, Chipazon de Mitzrayim. Who was in a rush here? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Chipazon is the rush of the people of Mitzrayim, the Mitzrim. Because they want to rush Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. That happens at night. That happens when Makat Bechorot takes place. They come running to say, get out, leave. Rabbi Kiva said, Vermaydi Chipazon. Chipazon de Yisrael. That's talking about when Bnei Yisrael leave in a rush. When do they leave? They actually leave in the morning. They don't leave at night. So therefore, their machloket is, if you're going to eat the Korban Pesach until the Zman Chipazon, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's only until midnight. Because that's when the Mitzrim want Bnei Yisrael out. That's when they want to throw them out. And that's the end of the Zman Achilat HaPesach. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva believes the Chipazon is referencing Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael only rush out of Mitzrayim. They only leave Mitzrayim in the morning, and therefore it's mutar to eat the Korban Pesach all night. So this is an alternative explanation as to the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a bright that reports this. Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha miMitzrayim laylo. V'chiba laylo yatzu. Did they really leave at night? Alo lo yatzu elo beyom. Shenamar machad haPesach yatzu bnei Yisrael biyad rama. Elom elameid shitchila lahem gula mibe'erev. The gula began at night and was completed in the morning. So there is a continuum or a process in which the gula takes place. And the question is, where in that process does the Chipazon end? And that depends if you're focused on Mitzrayim or you're focused on Bnei Yisrael. The Mitzrayim, Chipazon, takes place at midnight. For Bnei Yisrael, it takes place at Alot HaShachar. Why didn't our mission didn't mention Korban HaPesach? Because Korban HaPesach is not a good example. Rabbi Kiva believes that it's Adamud HaShachar, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah believes that Min HaTorah cuts off at Chatzot. So it's not a good example of another item where the din is Adamud HaShachar and then Chatzot is the cutoff. Because there's a fundamental machloket as to whether Chatzot is the cutoff or not. And that would not fit into the pattern of the other items that are brought in the Mishnah, and that's why our Mishnah doesn't mention Achilat HaPesach. So now the Gemara continues to darshan the psukim surrounding Yitziyat Mitzrayim. It says, Darber Nabi Oznei Ha'am. So Amrei Debei Rabbi Yanai. Ein Na El Lashon Bakasha. When the Torah uses the word Na, it's pleading, begging, saying, please, Amar Leo Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe, Bebakasha Mimcha Leich Ve'amor Lehem Le'Yisrael. Go tell Bnei Yisrael, Bebakasha Mikem Shalu Mim Mitzrayim Kle Kesef Le'Zah. Please borrow from the Mitzrayim before you leave the golden and silver utensils. Shalo Yomaru Tot Tzadik, so that Avram Avinu won't come back to me with a claim. Va'avadum Vinu Otam Kiyem Behem. From Prit Ben Abtarim, where Hashem makes the covenant with Avram Avinu, where there he tells him, Va'avadum Vinu Otam, that the Bnei Yisrael will be subjugated and they will be oppressed within that nation. So Hashem was Mekayim that. They were in Mitzrayim. That's what happened to the Mitzrayim. But then the conclusion of the Pasuk in the Brit Benatarim is, V'acharei ken yitzu b'ruchush gadol. After that point in time, they're going to leave with great wealth. If you don't take anything with you, then Avram's going to say, you took care of one part of the Brit, which is Avadum v'inu otam. But V'acharei ken yitzu b'ruchush gadol lo kiyem behem. That you didn't do. Samrlo ulevai shenitzei be'atzmeinu. Moshe responds and says, you know, we're just happy to get out of here alive. Forget about all these goodies. Forget about all the wealth. We just want to get out. Mashallah, Adam Sheikh Chavush Bit Asurim, someone who's incarcerated in jail. Tomorrow, you're going to be free to remove from the jail. And they're going to give you a tremendous amount of money. If you can let me out today, I'll be much happier. Forget about waiting till tomorrow and getting the big wealth. I'd rather just leave right now. The only thing that matters right now is to get out of jail, to get out of this incarceration. Wealth and all that, that's all secondary to the necessity to leave and to escape and be freed of the burden of whether it's being incarcerated or being in Mitzrayim. So then the pasuk said, Vayashilum. Amar Rabbi Ami Malameid Shishilum Bal Korcham. Vayashilum means that they borrowed or they lent against their will. Ikadamri Bal Korcham de Mitzrayim. Some say it means against the will of the Mitzrayim. V'yikadami bal korcham de Yisrael, against the will of Bnei Yisrael. Mandamar bal korcham de Mitzrayim. The one who says it was against the will of Mitzrayim, dechtiv. Unevat bayit techaleg shalal. So there in Tehillim, it's talking about in a battle. Those that flee the battle do not share in the spoils or the booty. Unavat, those that tarry, those that remain behind in the house, they're the ones who divide up the spoils. Well, over here, Bnei Yisrael, the ones who are leaving, the Mitzrim are staying in Mitzrayim. So the Mitzrim have no necessity to give away their possessions or to lose the booty. They're the ones who are staying in place. And that's what it means, that they borrowed it from them against their will. They took it against their will because they didn't feel like they should lose out here. Mandamar b'korcham d'Yisrael. Those that say Bnei Yisrael were not so willing to take these possessions is mishum d'masui, because then they had to carry them. They were leaving Mitzrayim. They're about to travel out into the desert. They're going to have to carry all this stuff with them. So if they have to borrow this, then they're going to have to lug all this extra weight along with them. And they didn't want to do that. Vayinatzlu et Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? Vayinatzlu et Mitzrayim. Arvi ami malamed shasua ki mitzuda she'en ba dagan. They made it into the equivalent of a trap that has no food in it. As Rashi points out, when you go to capture a bird or you're trying to capture an animal, you place food in the trap in order to attract the animal to come there. So they left Mitzrayim like a mitzuda, like a trap without any food in it. They drained it, they cleaned it out. They made it into, Rashi over here in terms of it's mitzula, meaning the depths of the water. It's like in the Mitzulot Yam where there are no fish. They emptied it out. Like those parts of the water that have no fish in it, they emptied out Mitzrayim as if there was nothing left in it. The other possibility is ki Mitzula is like a net. A net chained by the gim that has no fish in it. So again, they've drained or emptied out the entirety of Mitzrayim. Right, the question of how to interpret the word Vayinatzlu at Mitzrayim. Is Vayinatzlu meaning ki Mitzuda? Or is Vayinatzlu ki Mitzula? So they're just trying to interpret the word Vayinatzlu and give explanation for what Vayinatzlu means. Okay, now the Gemara continues with the conversation that Moshe has with Hashem by the Snet, where Hashem is trying to convince Moshe to go to Bnei Israel. And Moshe asks Hashem, what's the name of Hashem? What's the name of God that I should tell them? And Hashem says to them, Ekeh Asher Ekeh. That's my name. So, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Leichem Or Lehem, Leisrael, Ani Hayiti Imechem B'Shibud Zeh. I was there with you in this bondage, in this subjugation. V'Ani Hayei Imechem B'Shibud Malchiot. And I'll be together with you when you go into Galut, when you go into exile, when you are subjugated by the nations, I'll go with you again. Why would I ever introduce that information to them? They're suffering right now. What do they want to know? They want to know that they're leaving in order to go into more suffering in the future. That's not really a comforting thought. You're right. Go back and tell them that God who's with you is the one who sent me. And not to mention those galiot or those shibudim that will take place in the future. Aneni Hashem Aneni. This is by Elyon Navi on Har HaKarmel. We saw this earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara is bringing the same drasha that we saw before, which is at the Shata Mincha, Eliyahu turns to Hashem and says, to answer me. Why does he say the word Aneni twice? First of all, have the fire come down from heaven. Talking about on Har HaKarmel, where he's having this showdown with the Nevi'ei HaBaal. And they put the korbanot on the Mizbeach, and they dig ditches around and fill them with water. And they say, whichever God can bring down the fire to consume the korban, that's the true God. He gave the Nevi'ei HaBaal all morning, all the way into the afternoon, and they're unsuccessful. Then Eliyahu turns to Hashem and Davin says, now it's my turn. He says, make sure, please, to bring down the fire from heaven to substantiate that you are the real God. Tochal kol ha'shel ha'mizbech, and consume everything that's on mizbech. Va'aneini, I need another answer. What is that? She'tisiach da'adam, that their mind should leave the thought, kadei shelo yomru ma'asek shafimeim, like we saw earlier in the Gemara, that they shouldn't think that it's sorcery, witchcraft, that this is not really coming from Hashem. They're going to think that it's coming from another power. Shinemar, v'ta asibot et libam achoranit, that you turn their heart back. And make sure that you, Hashem, turn their hearts in the direction that their thoughts will be, that this really is coming from Hashem and not coming from some other force. And now we go on to the next Mishnah. And as we said on Daf Bet Amud Aleph, the structure of the Mishnah is, first of all, we talk about Shema of Arvit, u'bishoch b'chol. And then we talk about Shema of Shacharit, Uv Kumecha. And so this Mishnah is addressing the time period of Uv Kumecha. Mei matai korim et Shema b'Shacharit. When can you start saying Shema in the morning? Mishiakir ben Techelet Levan. When you can distinguish, differentiate between Techelet and Levan. Rabbi Elezer Omer ben Techelet de Karti. There's between Techelet and Karti. Rashi over here says Techelet is Yaroku. It's a greenish blue. Vikarov Litzeva Karti. And it's very close to the color of karti, which is porayish, green of the karti, which is a leek. So the green color of the leek is what we're comparing to the tchelet. And since those colors are very similar in nature, they're harder to distinguish than between contrasting colors like blue and white, like the Tehelet and Lavan. So the Tehelet, which is a greenish-blue, is very similar to the Karti. Others believe that Tehelet is a much darker blue. And that's a machloker between Rashi and others as to when Gemara says that the Tehelet looks like the sky. What type of sky are we talking about? Are we talking about a sky in the middle of the day? Or are we talking about a sky in the evening? So that would be a difference between whether you're thinking about a very light blue or a slightly darker form of blue. It's clear that Ben Tehelet de Karti will take more light in order to make such a distinction because the colors are closer together. So Ben Tehelet Lavan is an earlier time than between Tehelet de Karti. Ad and Netzach Hama. And Rabbi Elazar says it begins at Tehelet de Karti and you have to finish it. You have to finish Kriyat Shema de Zmanes until Netzach Hama, until the sun rises. Mishu Omer Ad Shlosh Sha'ot, until the third hour of the day. Kein Derech Melachim Lamod Vishlosh Sha'ot, because the kings or princes get up on the third hour of the day. That's something that we discussed already in the Gemara a lot. Koreh Mikan Ve'elech Lo Yipsit Adam Koreh B'Torah. Even if you read it after the third hour, when it's no longer Zman Kriyat Shema, you should still read it because it's no worse than learning Torah, like reading the Torah. So even if you're not going to be Yotze the mitzvah in terms of Kriyat Shema, you should still read it for the kiyum of Kriyat HaTorah or Limud HaTorah. So now the Gemara says, Ma ben Tehelet Lelavan. What does it mean that you have to discern or distinguish between the color of Tehelet and white? Ilem ben Gavava de Imra Chiyura le Gavava de Imra Tehelta, that you have to distinguish, be able to tell the difference between a ball of white wool and a ball of bluish Tehelet wool. Ha, belelia nami me da yade. That's something that's easily discernible. That's something you could do even at nighttime. You could tell the difference between a white ball of wool and a Tehelet ball of wool. Ella ben Tehelet sheba, the lavan sheba. Between the Tehelet and the lavan that are in it. What is the ba here? Rashi claims it's if you dye wool with Tehelet, the dye doesn't take perfectly all over the place. So there's certain places where the Tehelet takes well. There are other places on the wool which are still remain white. And so Rashi claims that that's the distinction the Gemara is after over here. That when you can discern or distinguish between the places in the wool that was dyed with Tehelet that are dyed fully Tehelet and other places that have white still left in them, that's what we're looking for, the time period that we're looking for. Whereas Tosafot says that doesn't make so much sense because the Gemara Menachot says that when you look at the tzitzit, Uzchartem, you'll remember another mitzvah that you do. Because when you look at the tzitzit, it will remind you to do the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Because through the tzitzit, you find out the zman of Kriyat Shema. And so therefore, Tosafot explains, Ben Tehelet Sheba, Lelavan Sheba, means of the tzitzit itself. When you could distinguish between the Tehelet and Lavan and the tzitzit, that's the zman that we're talking about. And Tosafot believes that you tie tzitzit with two strings of white and two strings of Tehelet, and then you make the krichot, those wrapped coils that you make, one of them's blue, one of them's white, so the time period when you can distinguish between those coils. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishyakir ben Ze'ev lekelef, when you can distinguish or discern between a wolf and a dog. Akiva Omer ben Chamor le'arud, when you can distinguish between a donkey and an arud, which is a wild donkey. Even though later on in the Gemara, if you look on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, over there, there's a story of Chanin ben Dosa and the arud. And over there, it seems to be talking about a scorpion, or as the Gemara in Chulin mentions, and Rashi quotes it over there, that the arod is the product of a crossbreeding between a snake and a tzav and a turtle. But it produces something like a scorpion. Over here, the Gemara is using arod to mean something like a wild donkey, because it's got to be something very similar to a donkey, something that requires discernment or distinguishing. Bacharim omrim, and others say, Mishiret chavereh rochok dalet amot v'yakireno, when you can recognize a friend that is 4 amot away. Amrav Huna, halocha ki achirim. The halocha is like achirim, and that's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, where the time period to start saying Kriyat Shema is Mishyakir et Chaveiro, when you recognize your friend. Tosafot over here, the way the Yerushalmi says what type of friend you're speaking about. If you're talking about someone you know very well, says, then you can tell him even from early, much earlier time, even when it's very dark out. If it's someone that you don't really know at all, then you'll have to wait till it's very light in order to determine who they are. The Tosafot quotes the Yerushalmi that it's someone that's ragil v'eino ragil. Somebody you know, but you don't know very well. And that's the time period that we're talking about of Richuk Dalamot, that you recognize this individual who is an acquaintance, someone that you are familiar with, but not very close with. And that's the time period for starting of Kriyat Shema. Abaye says, L'tfilin k'achirim. When it comes to putting on tefillin, the din is like achirim. When you're Richuk Dalamot, you recognize the individual, that's when you can put on tefillin. L'kriyat Shema k'vatikin. But the proper time for Kriyat Shema is Kivatikin. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Vatikin, Ayu Gomrim Ota, Ima Netzach Hama. that used to finish up Kriyat Shema at sunrise. So the optimal time, according to Abaye, is at sunrise. We have a brayta that supports that. They used to finish up Kriyat Shema at sunrise in order to be mitzmach, to put together the bracha of Gal Yisrael, and juxtapose that to tefillah, the beginning of davening. And you'll daven during the day, because the lechatchila time to daven is after sunrise for Shmon Esrei. So the first moment that you can daven Shmon Esrei is at Netzach Hama, when the sun rises. So if you finish up the bracha of Gal Yisrael, of Kriyat Shema, right as sun rises, you'll be able to daven immediately when the yom comes in. Omer Mizera Mikro. What is the pasuk that teaches that as you should daven right away at sunrise, at the moment that the day begins? Yira'ucha im shemesh pnei yareach dor dorim. Yira'ucha, we will fear you im shemesh, when the sun comes up. So when are you mekabel o machut shemayim? When do you come before Hashem? Yira'ucha im shemesh, when the sun comes, that's the same time that we have that fear for you. The Gemara here doesn't darshan the other half of the pasuk, but does later on in the Masechta, lifnei yareach dor dorim, is for mincha time, that you should also daven mincha be dimdumei achama. As the sun sets, that's when you daven mincha. Over there, I think the Gemara says, Shmuel light alei. Shmuel curses one who does daven like that because it's too risky. Because if you miss it or something happens, you'll miss mincha entirely, so he doesn't recommend doing that. Heed Rabbi Yehuda ben Eliakim, Shum Kalaka Dishad B'Yushalayim, in the name of the Tzibur that was found in Yushalayim, Kol Asomech Gula L'Tvila, Enu Nizuk Kol Ayom Kulo. Anybody who's Mikayim, this din of Smichud Gula L'Tvila, doesn't have anything problematic, doesn't get injured that day, nothing bad happens to them on that day. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira says, Ini, is that really true? V'ana Samche, I do that. V'itzake, and then I did. Something bad happened to me that day. Says, what was that that went bad for you that day? Says, I had to supply myrtle to the king. I don't know if it was a taxation or for whatever reason he had to give a gift to the king. He had to bring myrtle to the king. He said, that's not something bad. If you had to get an audience with the king, you would have to pay a lot of money. So over here, because you had to bring the myrtle to the king, you got that audience. So you got something that other people would have to pay for. That's not bad. That's good. Dam Rav Yochanan. And it's important to pay money to go see a king because of this statement of Yochanan. Olam yishtadel adam larutz likrat malchei Yisrael, v'lo likrat malchei Yisrael bilvad. First, you should always run to go see the Jewish royalty. But not just for Jewish royalty. Ela afilu likrat malchei akum. Even to see the non-Jewish royalty. Shim izkeh yavchin ben malchei Yisrael malchei akum. Because if he's zocheh to reach Olam Haba, then when he gets up there, he'll see the difference between the Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Akum. That in this world, the Malchei Akum seem much greater and bigger. But when you go up to Olam Haba, you'll see the true reward for the Malchei Yisrael and those that follow the ways of Hashem. So kedai to see it in this world, so you know how different it is in the world to come. The other possibility, which the Gemara does not entertain over here, is that our relationship to Hashem is the same as a servant to a king. And therefore, seeing a king and how people treat the king and that which is associated with royalty would help the individual in terms of their relationship with Hashem or understanding how they should act in their relationship to Hashem. And that's true of Malchei Yisrael. It's also true of Malchei Akum. Amar Lei Rabbi Yilo de Ula, Ki Alayt Ayalat Lahatam, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Shal B'Shlomo de Rav Bruna Achi, ask about my brother Rav Bruna, B'Mamad Kol HaChabura, when everybody's present. The Adam Gadolhu, he's a big guy. V'sameach b'mitzvot, and he loves and he's happy to do mitzvot. Zim nachado samach gula l'tfila. One day he was samach gula l'tfila. Lo pasik chukam ipumei kula yoma. A smile did not leave his face for that entire day. He had won the lottery. He was samach gula l'tfila. So now the Gemara says, Eichi matzi samach. How could you do smichat gula l'tfila? Avam Rabbi Yochanan mitchilu umer Hashem svatai tiftach. Olusof umer yul ratzonim reifi. Because before you start Shmon Esrei, Rabbi Yochanan says you add in Hashem svatai tiftach. At the end, you conclude with the pasuk v'yulah ratzonim reifi. So Amar Rav Elazar, tehi b'tfilat shel arvit. You'll say Hashem svatai tiftach at ma'ariv. You won't say it at shacharit, so you can be sumech gula l'tfilah. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ezu ben olam haba, as we saw earlier already in the Masechta. Zeh asumech gula l'tfilah shel arvit. That's someone who is sumech the gula of arvit to the tfilah shel arvit. So Rabbi Yochanan requires that smichud gula l'tfilah even by ma'ariv. So you can add in Hashem svatai tiftach. Amar Rav Elazar, tehi b'tfilat mincha. You'll only say Hashem Svatai Tiftach by Mincha time when there's no problem with Smichat Gula L'Tfilah. By Shacharit and Mariv, you won't say it, so you won't have any interruption between Gal Yisrael and the beginning of Shmon Esrei. Rav Ashi Amar, so Afilu Tema Kulu, that refers to all tefillot, Shacharit, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Same answer that we gave earlier in the Masech, Vekeven, Tekavua, Rabbanim, Tefillah, Ketefillah, Arich, Tadamya. Since the Rabbanim established that this is the introductory phrase to tefillah, it becomes part and parcel of the tefillah. Which again has Nafkaminot, we mentioned before, which comes to Chazarat HaShatz, that Rav Soloveitchik was makpid, that the Shatz say, Hashem Sfatai Tiptach. The Rabbanim are metaki, and it becomes part and parcel of tefillah. And if it's part and parcel of tefillah, then you need to say, Hashem Sfatai Tiptach. The Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah, in the beginning of the Masecht, as well in Masechet Avot, explained why Hashem Sfatai Tiptach, Ufi Yagiti Latecha, is the introductory pasuk. It's a pasuk that he says, that David says after Chet Batsheva. It comes before Hashem and he says, I want to come and speak to Hashem, but I don't have the ability to bring a korban, because this is not a Maaseh B'Shogeg, it's a Maaseh Mezid. So I'm asking you to, Hashem Sfatai Tiptach, open up my mouth, Ufi Yagiti Latecha, that I can say your praises, give me permission and forgiveness from that which I've done in order to be able to approach you and bring my tefillah like a korban. And even though a korban can only be brought by shogeg, tefillah might be able to help even mezid. And therefore, Hashem Sfatai Tiptach Ufi Yagiti Latecha. And that's the introductory pasuk. Tilo Temeochi, if you don't say that Hashem Sfatai Tiptach is this concept of tefillah richta, then arvi teichi matzi samich. Then at Ma'ariv, how could you ever be so megulo the tefillah? But by the Meimar Hashkiveinu, we have the second bracha of Birkat Kriyashma that's after Gal Yisrael of Hashkiveinu, and that interrupts between Gal Yisrael and the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Lekaven Dakinu Rabbanu Hashkiveinu. Since the Rabbanim put the Hashkiveinu in place, Ki Geula Arichta Damya, it's the equivalent of an extended Geula. And again, the Tabinu Rabbeinu Yonah mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, Hashkiveinu is Zecher to the Tefillah that Bnei Yisrael said in Mitzrayim. The Mashchit was coming on the night to destroy all the Bechorim. Hashem had promised to save them, but they were scared, they were afraid. So they dive into Hashem to save them from all these bad things. And that's exactly what Hashkiveinu is. Hashkiveinu is a tefillah that Hashem should protect us from the mazikim and from all these bad things that could happen. Ramim Institute Hashkiveinu as a zecher to what Bnei Yisrael did when Hashem was passing through Mitzrayim. And that's why it's classified as a geula richta. So Achanami gave him the geula rabbanim mitfilah ketfilah richta damya. Just like Hashkiveinu is geula richta, so too Hashem Sfatai Tiptach is tefillah richta. So now, going back, just a couple of issues that we need to deal with. Number one is the halacha. Who is the halacha like in terms of the starting time for Kriyat Shema? So the Gemara seems to indicate that it's like the Acherim. That buskin like Acherim, that person can see when he's 4 amot away, you recognize somebody. That's the halacha. So now, Tzarech Lomar, the Acherim, is that, so if that's the beginning time, and that's the way we paskin, then Abaye, who's a batra, says that the beginning time of Kriyat Shema is like the Acherim, and the end time for Kriyat Shema is Ad Netzachama. So that means that we should paskin that the time period to say Kriyat Shema is from the time that you can recognize someone 4 amot away until the sun rises. Sunrise should be the end of the time for Kriyat Shema. So how come we say that we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua? And Abaye, who's a Batra, is saying that it's Ad Netzachama. So Tosfot over here goes out of his way to prove that even if you believe that you should say Kriyat Shema Kivatikin at the time of Netzachama, nevertheless, they believe b'di'eved, like Rabbi Yeshua, that you can say it until Shalosh Sha'ot. They're not saying exclusively until Netzachama and no further than that. They're just saying that the optimal time to say Kriyat Shema is im Netzachama. But if you don't say it im Netzachama b'di'eved, you can say it even until the Shalosh Sha'ot of Rabbi Yeshua. So that's the first thing that Tosfot deals with. The second thing that Tosfot deals with is, it's not clear from the Gemara here when you need to say Kriyat Shema. And the Gemara in Yoma is even more problematic. The Gemara in Yoma says that Hilni Amalka donated to the Mikdash a Nivreshet. This was some sort of a sundial, golden plaque or item that they placed in the Mikdash. And when the sun rose, it used to shine off of it. And that's how they knew that it was Zman Kriyat Shema. But that seems to indicate that Zman Kriyat Shema is only after the sun rises, is it Zman Kriyat Shema. And so Tosfos over here, as well as the Tosfos in Yoma, as to when is the optimal time to say Kriyat Shema. Is the optimal time to say Kriyat Shema before Netzachama, in order that you begin tefillah with Netzachama? Or is the proper time to say Kriyat Shema actually at Netzachama, when it's Netzachama, and then only afterwards to come into Shemoneh Esrei? Is there a requirement of Netzachama for Shema? And so Tosfot concludes here that the optimal time is before Netzachama, and that what they said in Yoma with regards to the fact that they only started Kriyat Shema once the sun had shone on this metallic item was because people were not sure. They could not be Kivein HaShot. It was a technological problem. They didn't know when sunrise was. They didn't know how to be Mekavein Kriyat Shema to sunrise. Today, we're dealing with digital clocks, with watches. That's something that you can calculate when the sunrise should be. But in their day, the sunrise was all by their looking and seeing. And so it was very hard for people to know. So once you saw the sun up and reflecting off of this metal, you knew for sure that it was already time for Zman Kriyat Shema and time to daven Shmon Esrei. And so they waited a little longer in order to be certain that they were already at the point of Netzach Chama. Whereas there are opinions in the Gemara and Yoma brought in the Tosafot that Ein Ochanami, that the Zman Kriyat Shema is only after Netzach Chama. At the tail end of that Tosafot in Yoma, he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, who says, Miu Rabbeinu Tam Perish Da Bayi Nami Hochi Svirlei? And we have Kriyat Shema be after Netzach Chama. So the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, based on a number of proofs and questions in Shas, that Zman Kriyat Shema is really after Netzach Chama. What the Vatikin did here is premised on the Gemara further on, that they wanted to do smicha gula de tefila, to get tefila exactly when the sun rose. And so they, the expense of Kriyat Shema, in order to get that optimal Shmon Esrei that they were looking at, they did it at the expense of Kriyat Shema. They said Kriyat Shema before that Zman of Netzach Chama. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we don't pass in that way, but rather we demand that you say Kriyat Shema at Netzach Chama and not before Netzach Chama. And if I remember correctly, I think Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, on the morning of Shavuot, after he stayed up all night to learn in the morning after davening, he would repeat Kriyat Shema again to be choshesh for those opinions that say Kriyat Shema is only said after Netzach Chama, not prior to Netzach Chama. And the last thing, as Tosfot mentions, is this Gemara seems very strange. It says here that anybody who's someich gula the tefila, first of all, is not nizok kol hayom, nothing bad happens to him. And then we have the story here with Rav Bruno that he was smiling all day after he was someich gula the tefila. Everybody does that. The whole design of tefillah is built around being somech gula l'tefillah. We all do that every single day. So why is that special? So Tosfot answers that it's special because what they're talking about here in the Gemara is when you're somech gula l'tefillah, b'nei tzachamavkin, kevatikin. So that's what it means. That special protection that's afforded by smichut gula l'tefillah is when you do it b'nei tzachamah, when you do it exactly at sunrise, then it has these added benefits. We already mentioned on Daf Bet, the Talmid of Eriyona, as to why it's so special or what's so important about smichut geula l'tefillah, which is the affirmation that just like Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, so too Hashem will provide for us now. And therefore it's only appropriate to make requests and daven Shmon Esrei after you've affirmed the fact that Hashem was the one who took out of Mitzrayim. He's the kol yachol. He's the one who is mashkiach on everything. And therefore you continue with Shmon Esrei, which is exactly that, a manifestation of you making requests of Hashem, who is still involved and still mashkiach al olam. And the Gemara will say in other places, but the source for smichot gula tefillah is from Tehillim. Tehillim in Perek Yudtet, the last pasuk in Perek Yudtet in Tehillim is Iyud Ratzon Imrefi. And the next Perek in Tehillim, Perek Chaf, is Yantcha Hashem B'yom Tzara. Hashem will answer you on your day of travails, your day of difficulty. So therefore there is this inyan of bringing together the tefillah together with the Gal Yisrael, the geula. And that's the source for being someh geula, the tefillah. We'll see later on in the Gemara. So now the Gemara continues. Michtei hayu l'ratzonim refi. Hashem should find favorable the words that you are saying. Michtei hayu l'ratzonim refi. Mashma l'sof u'mashma me'ikara. Tefillah v'yu l'ratzon is that Hashem should find favorable our words. That could be an introductory phrase, or that could be a conclusionary phrase. How do you know whether it belongs in the beginning or it belongs in the end? Say it in the beginning, could say it at the end. It's both a equally good introductory phrase as it is a conclusionary phrase. So then why did the Rabbanim place Yud HaRatzon at the end of the tefillah? So limro meikara, say it before you start davening. So Amar Rav Yehuda Breider Rav Shimon Pazi, ho v'lo amro David elo achar yudchet parshiot. Because David HaMelech only says it after 18 Prakei Tehillim. He said before that Yud HaRatzon is found in Perek Yutet of Tehillim. It's the last pasuk in Perek Yutet. So there were 18 prakim that preceded it. Where it says, Avikach takinu b'rano l'achar yuchet brachot. Rabbanu metakin it after the 18 brachot of Shmon Esrei. Where it says, Hani yuchet, yutet avion. What are you talking about? Yud HaRatzon is at the tail end of the 19th parak. That's really after 19 prakim. It's not after 18 prakim. It's in the 19th parak, but it's at the tail end of the 19th parak. My answer is, Ashrei Aish. The first two Pirkei Tehillim are really one perek. We have it divided into two prakim. Ashrei Aish is the beginning of the first perek, and Lama Ragshu Goyim is the beginning of the second perek. Gemara here says that they're really one perek. If you do that, then it's really at the end or the tail end of the 18th parak when he says the Yudah Ratzon. There were 103 prokei Tehillim that David said, and he never said Haluluka until he saw the downfall of those that are evil. Should be familiar to us from the Perek Tehillim that we say on Rosh Chodesh, and the tail end, the last pasuk in there is that when the chataim are removed from the land, Urushim Odeinam, and there are no longer any Rishayim, then Baruch Nafshi Et Hashem, Haleluka. My soul will bless Hashem with Haleluka. So that's the first time David HaMelech says Haleluka. And that's at the tail end of Tehillim Kuf Dalid. The statement of Rabbi Yehuda was that it's after 103 Prokim that he says this. But this is the last Pasuk in Perek 104. So Ela Hani Kuf Kuf Gilma Kuf Dalid Avian. It's 103. This is really 104. Ela Shema Mina Ashrei Yishu Lamarok Shu Goyim Chada Parshihi. We answer the same way, that the first two prokim are really one perek, then it's also after 103 prokim. Damar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Pasha Shaita Chaviva al David, any perek tehillim that David really loved, Patach ba b'ashrei, Siyam ba b'ashrei. He began that parsha with Ashrei, and he ended it with Ashrei. And the example we bring here is from Perek Aleph and Perek Bet and Tehillim. Perek Aleph begins with Patach b'ashrei dichtiv Ashrei Ish. So that's the beginning of Perek Aleph. Siyam b'ashrei, Dichtiv, in the end of Perek Bet, the last pasuk in Perek Bet, it says Ashrei Kol Chosei Bo. So you see, he began with Ashrei and he ended with Ashrei. So this memra also indicates that that's one Perek of Tehillim. Because it's saying that he began and ended with Ashrei, but that's in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet. But it's clear from here that they viewed Perek Aleph and Perek Bet as being a single Perek. Okay, we'll stop over here.